one name would. One name won.
Blitz is on. Roger Stroud winds up Rainbow. He's got Cobb at the 10 to the 5. Yes. To the end zone. Touchdown.
Two friends.
Twice.
Woo. Too much sport.
Throwing, and it is a fingertip. Catch.
Put your hands together for Woo and Wild.
Hello. Welcome back. It's been a long time. I'm Josh Wire, and as always, I'm joined by
Josh Root.
Josh Root. How you going, mate?
Not too bad.
Not too bad. It's been a while.
It has been a little bit.
A lot has happened since the NFL draft, so we're going to recap that quickly. We've got some regular segments now.
Yeah.
We're moving on up in the world.
We are.
We are. And we're going to discuss our draft. So we'll go through some of our favourite picks.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our least favourite picks, and we'll go through some later round guys as well, because you've probably heard enough about the first round by now.
No, I loved the first round.
First round's always entertaining. Did you watch the whole thing?
I did.
How many packets of Doritos did you knock off?
You know what? I shouldn't say this, but I'm in love with the new tasty salsa flavoured CC's.
Oh, Jesus.
So there you go.
Outraged. I knocked through 2 packs of original. I just love the original.
So do I.
They're very salty.
I don't like the red ones. You know,
like nacho cheese or the original.
Yeah.
Anyway, this could go on for another hour, like talking about Doritos. But we'll go through round one. What was your favourite pick?
Round one. You know what? I actually hate to say it, but I think Odell Beckham Jr. going to the New York Giants is a good pick.
You like that?
I do like that.
I'm unsure about that one.
No, I think, you know, that's... Okay. I don't think... Eli still has the protection that he needs.
Yeah, and that's what I don't like.
See, I don't like that, but the fact that, you know, he's still got Cruz there who can play wherever, and then Beckham's a big receiver, so he can kind of do what Manziel did with Evans in college and just throw it and hope sometimes.
Yeah, I disagree. I think they should have gone Zach Martin and protected their quarterback, because wide receiver was deep. They could have addressed that later on.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, Odell Beckham... Apart from the top 2 elite guys, he was one of my favorite receivers in the draft. So I agree with you that he is, like, long term, that's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
It's a pretty good pick. My favorite pick was the last one in round one, and that was Minnesota trading up for Teddy Bridgewater.
Uh-huh.
He's the best quarterback in this draft, in my opinion. Tied with Blake Bortles.
See, this is ridiculous. You just keep changing and changing.
I know, I was a big Bortles fan, but then the hate for Bridgewater to sort of put me back up to him again.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think it was fair. And I think, look, you got one of the top 2 quarterbacks, 32nd, and you still managed to get Anthony Barr as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a pass rusher. You have your quarterback.
Anthony Barr should have been top 10?
You know, it was funny. Before the draft, a lot of mocks, he was either top 10 or he was falling to, like, Philly.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think they were banking on that with Philly. That's probably why they went with Marcus Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
I mean, I think they were... every single one of Philly's first-round choices were gone by.
Yeah.
Especially just before they would have picked Clinton Dix, but he was gone.
D Ford was on the radar.
D Ford?
Just quietly, I hate that selection from Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't know. Good job, Reed.
Yeah. You've just lost 3 of your offensive linemen through free agency. You need a receiver as well, and you completely go with a position that you're probably the most stacked on.
Mm-hmm.
I know then for the future, especially with Justin Houston's injury troubles and Tamba Hali getting on a bit in age, they need to sort of look after that. But you need your immediate needs. Like, you still have a squad that's playoff potential.
Yeah.
I don't think they make the playoffs.
Well, I don't like what they did either. But then speaking of wide receivers, the Browns fans didn't even have 24 hours to let the Manziel aura soak in and how good that was before they were hit with the possibility that Gordon could be missing the whole season. We don't know that yet.
Which I think now is estimated at 4 to 6 weeks because the NFL's changed their marijuana penalties.
Their stance
on it. So they've sort of changed it. So it looks looking like 4 to 6 weeks. But look, a lot of people are bagging them out because they didn't take wide receiver Cleveland. But I actually think, I commend them. They stuck to their board and they addressed needs. I think Joel Bitonio in the second round, that's, I think that's one of my favorite picks in round two. I've listed winner and loser each round, and Joel Bitonio is there in bold for me. He's so versatile. And, like, Alex Mack could be gone at the end of next season. There's your replacement because he can snap the ball. He can play guard. He can play tackle. And I think if Manziel eventually starts, I think. I don't know. I'm a Hoyer fan.
I think he'll start.
Yeah, but, you know, he's got the protection. So they've got Miles Austin now. They've got Earl Bennett. Don't sleep on a guy they got undrafted, Willie Snead. He's a massive guy. I really liked him. I can't believe he went undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're okay at wide receiver, at least for just to get them through.
I think they got lucky.
But yeah.
They got lucky, the fact that, you know, Gordon can be back that soon. But if he...
Yeah.
Who they got? Miles Austin.
Yeah. Hey, a couple of years ago, he was one of the, you know, the supreme talents. Come on. So he had a good season.
We keep talking about like that about Chris Johnson. And, you know.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It doesn't pan out well. First round, what are some of the picks you hated?
Well, we've already spoken about D-Ford.
I don't like the Kelvin Benjamin pick from Carolina, especially when Bitonio was there. They need offensive linemen, and I don't think Benjamin is a receiver that... I think he's a boom or bust receiver.
I can see why they did it.
Yeah. I mean, it could pan out. I could be horribly wrong, but I just think it's a very high risk, high reward. And for your first pick in a deep wide receiver draft, I'm not sure if that's the... His hands are still... drops a lot of easy passes,
mm-hmm.
which is the problems they had with Brendan LaFell.
Yeah.
So I'm not high on that pick.
I don't... You know, there's not too much I dislike about that. Yeah. I like... Even though Deion Buchanan and Jimmy Ward, I didn't think they were... I like them both.
I
think
they're so both great. I like that. Yeah.
But the fact that they were in the first round, I still think they could have been.
Yeah, I personally like Buchanan in Arizona.
Oh, I think he fits there great.
Great, yeah, I love that.
But,
yeah.
I don't know. There's just some... You never know how the draft's going to play out. So
well, I actually thought... Yeah, I had high, low first round grades on both of those. So I was hoping one would slide to the Colts, but obviously that didn't happen.
I really think Jimmy Ward won't end up playing safety and he'll play the slot.
That's been rumoured the last couple of days. Yeah. We'll have a look at the second round now. Any picks that sort of jump out at you there that excite you or don't excite you?
As soon as Bridgewater was taken in the 32nd,
yeah.
I was like, now to Houston. Yeah. I mean, they waited a while. How do you say it? Xavier Suofilo?
Yeah.
How you say it? Yeah, pick. Good pick. Good pick there. I mean, I think the Rams just kept nailing all their selections.
The Rams won the draft.
Yep.
By a mile.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Raiders were a close second. I actually think the Raiders did quite well. Yep. Derek Carr in the second. How many weeks before he takes over Matt Schaub?
You know what? I'm slowly getting back on the short bandwagon, really? Right? Wow. I think, like, you know, he's... He hasn't been saying anything. He hasn't been coming out and saying, you know what, it's still my job, whatever. He's, you know, he's stayed under the radar. I think just me doing and you, like,
quarterbacks is where we're going to have most of our debates on this show. Yeah. Because you're on Team Vic, I'm on Team Gino. Now you're a Schaub fan.
Can I just say, I think the Jets will come close to last. I just don't have any faith.
Really?
I think they have barely any talent. Just nothing.
I
don't know.
I think they could push.
Think about all the cancers that they have for their locker room.
I guess. But, you know, Calvin Pryor in the first, I like that pick. He's a tough, physical guy. Fitz Rex Ryan's grunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jay Samaro in the second, that's a really good target for whoever plays quarterback.
But see, like, it's just, I don't know. It's just too much.
I don't know. I think they did all right. All right. But my least favorite pick in the second round is Jimmy Garoppolo, the Patriots. You're going toe-to-toe with Denver all off-season, hit for hit, and you spend a second-round pick on Jimmy Garoppolo in a deep draft. You could have got Jarvis Landry, like, who went immediately after. He could have helped them a lot more than Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
Who else went after him? There were so many good players. I just don't understand. There was plenty of sort of cornerbacks there in... Dexter McDougal, Pierre Desir, Aaron Colvin, so many players they could have gotten after that. Even inside linebackers to replace Spikes. I just think they stuffed up.
In my mock draft, I had Stanley Jean-Baptiste going at the end of the first round.
Yeah.
And then Saints ended up picking him up, same team.
Yeah.
In round two. I was thinking, well done.
Yeah. Like, good pick.
But that.
Good pick. In my bold predictions, I said Coney Ealy would go in the second half of round two, and there he lands, number 60 to Carolina. So, was it bold, or maybe I wasn't so bold? I don't know. I like the pick, but because Greg Hardy's probably not going to be there the following year. But again, it's not addressing the weapons. You just won your division. You need to stay there.
I like that Marquise Lee.
Yeah, Marquise Lee, that was a good pick.
I think Marquise Lee was good.
And they backed it up again with Allen Robinson. That's Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, and Cecil Shorts.
Yeah.
For the future there with Blake Bortles.
I like it.
And they picked up Storm Johnson as well in the sixth round or seventh round.
Yep.
Round seven, Storm Johnson. He's also an interesting prospect. He also played with Blake Bortles.
I was going to say, who said Gus Bradley was such a defensive coach, considering Bortles, that was a bombshell, and then comes out and gets Marquise Lee. I don't necessarily think they were going to draft Marquise Lee or someone like that, but he fell and, you know, couldn't pass that up.
Couldn't pass that up at all. In the third round there, we're having some technical issues. Bloody internet. Third round. Any good names pop out at you? Thoughts on Josh Huff to Philly? That was a given. If you played Wooten Wide Bingo, Chip Kelly picking a pack, guy, you were getting smashed.
I think, I play Madden.
Yeah.
I was hoping he kind of went there because, I think he was a bit of a reach.
Yep.
But then I think, he knows system, comfortable, that kind of thing. Chip's already said that he's ahead of the other players already because he knows.
Yeah, exactly. I was discussing that with Scott, who was on our show last, when he said thoughts on that. I said it was a bit of a reach, but, there's no character concerns. There's no issues there. You know what you're getting.
Yep.
And if he's comfortable and he thinks that in the third round there, that's where Huff goes, and, trust exactly. in Chip. And, he could work out well.
In Chip we trust.
In Chip we trust. I think the inside linebackers in the third round are the winners. Preston Brown to Buffalo, I really like the pick. Mm-hmm. I think that moves Alonzo outside, where he can sort of be a bit more damaging there with Mario Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Chris Borland, the 49ers, the rich get richer. I had a second round grade on him, and I think he's a machine. I'm a bit biased. I'm a Wisconsin fan, and he was the captain of our defense. But with Bowman having the injury concerns, I think that's a very good pick in the third round.
Lewis Nix slid so far.
Yeah.
Like, originally he was, he was projected up there 20s.
Oh, I thought he was going to go at 33.
See?
The top of the second day. I honestly thought he was going there. And
Texas,
I don't know.
Did well.
See, is that a steal, or is there concerns there that he slid there? Maybe there's a worry there. A lot of teams passed on him.
But then, everyone has their worries. Like, there's always some little, there's always some little concern with every player.
Again, I think Kansas City had a shocking draft.
Yeah.
Philip Gaines, I like Philip Gaines as a player. He's a developmental guy. But, again, is that a need for them? Corner position?
Flowers kind of had a drop-off.
He did. And he's on the trading block. But, honestly, you're going to trade a guy that's played Pro Bowl, a Pro Bowl caliber corner, for a developmental guy?
Would you get
He's not a sure thing at corner.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what Reed's doing, honestly.
Yeah,
I'm glad we got rid of him when we did.
Yeah, it's just baffling to me. They're dry. And then in round four, which we'll probably get to, DeAnthony Thomas, Kansas City. I don't know.
I get it that it's kind of a McCluster replacement.
Yeah, I get it. That,
but why?
But did McCluster have much impact in Kansas City last year at all? No, he didn't.
No.
I just think they had a shocking draft, and I had them as my loser of the draft. And I actually had, I don't know if this probably might be a bit of AFC South vengeance. I actually think the Texans, despite getting JVD and Clowney, and some really good players. I actually think they're a loser in this draft. They needed a quarterback, and they needed probably another receiver, some weapons, and they wasted a lot of time, a lot of rounds before they actually picked up a guy.
Do you reckon they're in a building phase still?
Yeah, I'm not sure. If they are, that's fair enough, but I just... Savage? Does he even exist? I've never seen Tom Savage. I don't even know what he looks like.
No.
I've seen Tate, but I don't know what he looks like.
He's got a helmet on.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't heard a thing. They're still very short at wide receiver. Andre Johnson's getting old. DeAndre Hopkins played really well last year, but can you name a third guy? Keyshawn Martin or something like that? DeVito Posey? Yeah, I don't know. And then they lost Owen Daniels, so they pick up TJ Fedorowicz at the top of the third. I don't know. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like
the top tight ends were gone by then.
At the end of the day, you've got Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback going into the season. And I'm sorry, I don't care how stacked your defense is. Three other teams in the AFC South have better quarterbacks than you. Chad Henne is better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. Andrew Luck's clearly better. And Jake Locker's clearly better. The Titans, if Zach Mettenberger starts, I still think he might be better. All right,
we're just
going to
see how this plays out.
I just don't understand it.
Dont'a Moncrief, your best pickup.
I love him. He is a Josh Gordon clone.
I think he makes up for the Muhort. I don't know if he makes up on Muhort.
I think, he might go all right. Protecting Andrew Luck is the key here. You've got Clowney and Watt coming at you. I understand the pick, but yeah, Moncrief's going to be awesome, especially with Knicks on a one-year deal. If he doesn't pan out, just slot Moncrief in.
You can't blame Houston for picking up Clowney.
I'm not going to have a go. But I just think they needed a quarterback, and they stuffed up. They stuffed up. They could have got Derek Carr, and I think they passed on him because of his brother.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't let bloodlines do that.
Nope.
Because Derek Carr could be 100% different
to his brother. But then again...
Every time you watch David Carr, he was getting sacked. He had nothing. Like, I feel bad for him.
That was a nice story, though, about Derek Carr.
Being on stage
and saying, I'll see you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Nice. Any other sort of picks that you liked later on in the draft?
I like Philly's pick of Jalen Watkins.
Yep.
I think Sammy Watkins' sibling.
Yeah, that's true.
So, the good bloodline, but there we go. We just spoke about bloodline.
Yes.
Should have been, nah. I mean, I think that was a good pickup. Who else?
I think cornerbacks in the fourth round, that was the storyline in there. You had Aaron Colvin,
mm-hmm.
who was a top guy before he hurt his knee to Jacksonville. I think that's a great pick.
I like Wade Akins to Miami Dolphins as well. I mean, they got rid of Carroll Nolan to Philly, but...
Yeah, they picked it up. They still got Grimes there. And I think Keith McGill to Oakland, I think that's a great pickup in the fourth round. And Pierre Desir to Cleveland in the fourth round is a pretty good pick as well.
So many wide receivers in this draft.
Yeah. So
seeing them flying off.
They're flying. Sorry, Desir went in the fifth. Oh, no, he didn't. He went in the fourth there. Just missed him there. All right, fifth round. I think Abradias to Green Bay at the end of the fifth. Are you kidding me?
You know what? I think Green Bay had a silently but solid draft.
Yeah.
I think they're, they got rid of some, not dead weight. I won't say dead weight, but they kind of got rid of, the old and even
the new. I think Clinton Dix was a steal where they got him in first. Oh. And then they add Devontae Adams, Jared Abradias.
Straight out of the hands of Philadelphia.
Yeah. I think that was a great pickup. And I think Abradias, he's a local product too, another Wisconsin guy. His route running is really, really good. I think Aaron Rodgers is really going to thrive with him.
What do you think about... Okay, Aaron Murray and AJ McCarron.
Yep.
What do you think Murray going to Kansas? I like Alex Smith. I've got nothing against him.
For me, Aaron Murray is Alex Smith. I don't know. It's sort of the same guy. I don't know if that's because they sort of look the same. I don't know. I shouldn't do that. But, for me.
If Dalton has another bad season.
I don't rate AJ McCarron at all, to be honest.
What about...
I'd rather Andy Dalton. And even with his playoffs stink, his poo-poo performances. I don't know about those picks. They obviously slid down for a reason.
Obviously, it's done to eat into the Bengals management that they'll get there and he'll just...
I think they drafted him just to say, you know what, look, all right, fine. We're not sort of settled at quarterback after all. I don't think it's a competition at all.
No?
Yeah. I just... Nah, not really sold on it.
Who else do I like? I don't... I mean, I know it's another Philly pick, but Oregon... They were saying how Taylor Hart's fitting in quickly as well. I mean, he's going to be a backup. He's going to be a second string defensive end, but I still think familiarity.
Yep.
It's a good thing. I mean, these people come in out of their depth and take years to adapt when these people are already coming in.
Yep, I understand. The Australian, I'll put that in inverted commas, David Yankee.
Yep.
Went to Minnesota at 145th pick. Guys, please stop calling him Australian. He moved to America when he was 7 years old. He speaks American. When I ask him his hometown, he says wherever he grew up in America. He doesn't mention Australia ever. He's not Australian. And I don't think he makes a roster. So let's just move on. Round six, that's where some big names went in terms of Zach Mettenberger. Thoughts on that one?
You know, he might very well win out. I mean, I'm a Locker fan. I know he's had his chances, but I think that Mettenberger has, you know, very well has a chance of kicking out Locker.
I'm a Locker fan as well.
I still think if they give Locker time, but then, you know, he's always being hurt. He's always a quarterback that's taken the hits and not been afraid to, not so much run. But he's not slow. I wouldn't say slow compared to...
I think he's quicker than people realise.
Yes.
Yeah. So it just sort of depends on personal preference. The Carolina Panthers selected a running back. How many running backs do you need?
It's running back by three committee.
Yeah, honestly, Carolina. I don't understand their draft at all. It sort of baffles me that they just went running back again. But, you know, they might have seen something in
maybe
that
they
guy.
Just think their defense had such a good year that they're going to pick wide receiver first.
Yeah.
And they're going to... I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not a Carolina fan right now. Because when Cam Newton came in, everyone was, you know, kind of polarized by what this kid can do, even though he didn't, you know, win from the get-go.
Yep.
He came into his own by the end of the first season and now I think it's kind of, I don't know. It's gonna really test
him. I think they're gonna take a step back.
They have to. I mean, after last year, Steve Smith, I still can't believe they let him go like that. I mean,
One guy in round six I thought Pittsburgh sort of did well was Daniel McCullers, the big massive, biggest guy in the draft, defensive tackle. They got him at pick number 215. I think he slots in the middle there nicely, despite landing Stephon Tuitt, who I have doubts over.
That was an interesting pick.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was going everywhere as well originally when the first mock draft started. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's exactly it. We'll move on to round seven, and the big talk was Michael Sam. Thoughts on that one? I saw you tweet something about that.
I just said, well done, Michael Sam.
Good on you. Yeah, something like that.
I mean, it was good to see it finally happen.
Yeah.
He was, you know, projected between third and fifth round, I think.
Yeah.
But then there was all... Teams don't want the media circus.
Yeah.
It distracts the team. It is. It's really like a disease, the media. It just crushes. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how Cleveland handle the whole Manziel circus.
Yep.
I mean, he's already gone out with Gronkowski the other
day. In Vegas.
I mean, and he's come out and said, who can't study and...
Party.
And party. Was that what he said? Yeah, I mean, and I... Okay.
You tell Andrew Luck that.
Yeah. Right, well, he's at home studying.
Yeah, exactly. You know, winning playoff games in tremendous fashion.
Well, it's just going to be interesting.
I don't know with Manziel. I know I didn't really want to discuss him because I'm sick of hearing about him.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's going to work out all right. I think Cleveland's... other picks were really, really good. That's why I give them a winner's tag. I also gave the Falcons a win. I think Yarwin Small with the last one of their last picks in the draft, I think he's a great inside linebacker. Jake Matthews is a great pickup.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
But when I look at what Cleveland did when they drafted Manziel, it was kind of like, will he slide past the Cowboys? That was originally, I'll give the Cowboys a winner's you know, tag. Again, what I've given the Giants, and
you're just basically rating the NFC East.
I am. And you know what? I've said that they've had a good job, so it's not bias here. I'm not saying Philadelphia is better than everyone.
Yep.
No, but then when it came to Manziel, you could see the fans and how badly they wanted Manziel there. And it had to be a decision. We're going to sell a lot of merchandise and tickets through this. And, I mean, I've already got a Manziel jersey, the Texas Texas A&M one, though. So I can be forgiven if Browns don't play well.
Yep.
But then also, then even if, you know, general manager and coach have already come out and said, Hoyer's the starting quarterback at the moment, he's...
I think it's just motivation for Manziel.
It has to be. Yeah. It has to be because all the fans, in that 24-hour period, their season tickets...
I know, but jersey sales and ticket sales shouldn't dictate.
No, I know.
I know it shouldn't, but I think it's a genuine quarterback competition, but I think they're saying it almost too politically and a lot. Like, why do you have to keep reassuring?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you wanted to generally... Just say it. You said it once, let it go, but they keep bringing it up. So Hoyer's like, our guy, Hoyer's our guy.
That's how everyone knows Vic and Geno Smith's going to be a real fight. Like, no one knows who's going to be the quarterback at that at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, it's going to be an interesting... The draft was a success. I love it. The extra weight killed me.
Yeah, that's
almost mock drafted.
But now, there's a shorter wait until the season begins.
That's true. There's Sundays without and with football.
Last podcast, we said who out of the players could, you know... We had our Kiko Alonso pick. And
we did.
What was our other pick?
The Bruce Irvin.
Bruce Irvin pick. I picked Colt Lyola.
Yes, you did.
As a possible, you know...
Yep.
And then he didn't get drafted.
No.
He went undrafted, and then he got selected by the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
And, you know, I was thinking at the time, like, is Philly going to give him a call? Because, you know, Oregon, maybe.
Yep.
Without Finley and Colt Lyola, he has so much talent.
But they also got Rickard Rodgers, who I'm not really much sure about.
See, exactly. And it's going to be such an interesting thing to see how... I think Colt Lyola has the potential to be a beast in the NFL. Yeah. So I know.
My guy was Shaquille Barrett. From Colorado. Denver picked him up. He's an outside linebacker. And from reports from... Actually, his wife tweeted me. I tweeted it. I was like, how's he doing? And she said, he's killing it. So I don't know if she's just really excited for him. Reports from a few beat writers is that he's performing. And he was one of my favorites. And I was hoping the Colts or the Broncos would get him. And I'm glad he ended up with the Broncos. And my other guy, Eric Thomas, the Colts picked him up. We're pretty deep at wide receiver. So I think he'll sit on the practice squad for a year. But... I think when Reggie retires or Hakeem Nicks moves on...
Reggie Wayne, got one more year?
Maybe.
What?
I don't know. He's pretty stealthy.
If he gets hurt, I think he'll definitely consider it.
Yeah, but he's only ever got hurt once in his career, and that was because Andrew Luck rarely overthrew it.
So the depth chart, is it Wayne, Hilton, Nicks?
Yep.
Like that?
Yep.
All right.
It's definitely Wayne, Hilton, and Nicks. And then you've got Moncrief. But Brazil.
A healthy Knicks better than T.Y.?
No.
No?
No. Healthy Knicks 2009? I think it's close. Or 2010? Whatever the year he had
He kind of reminds me of, like, a little bit like Steve Smith in a way. Like,
I think he's got more upside than Steve Smith.
Oh, plenty. He's younger as well.
And I think T.Y. can push him, and I think Reggie could just teach him a whole lot. Like, Reggie's just like... This just cool, calm head. Like, I would love to meet Reggie Wayne. I think he's one of my favorite players. I just love... I don't know. I really can't wait to see what he rocks up to at training camp. He came in a helicopter last season and the season before that.
Speaking of funny things at training,
it
was National Bike Month. Did you see this?
Oh, not really.
Connor Barwin bought the entire team bicycles.
I like Connor Bowen.
If anyone has ever followed and seen what Connor Bowen does, he's kind of like a fitness freak kind of thing. He'll ride his bike to training and ride it home kind of thing, where other players, like your big name stars, are either getting chauffeured there or they're driving their Lamborghinis, etc. So, I mean, he's kind of, hey, look, everyone, he's a bike. So,
he's
a
bike. He did pretty well. All right, well, we'll sum up the draft. It's been now is 30 minutes approaching. So your overall winners, we've already gone through them.
Definitely Rams.
Rams. Yeah, Raiders.
I still give Browns a win.
I think the Browns did well. And I think we're pretty much in agreeance that Kansas City and Carolina were the losers of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You could throw the Colts in there, I guess, with such limited picks, like our first round picks, Trent Richardson. So
Trent Richardson. Who knows? He could turn beast mode.
He could. Could turn it around. We're going to take a short break. I'm going to come back with some fantasy stuff. We've got some regular segments coming up. And, we'll be back in after this short message. So, Josh, have you signed a petition to bring NFL to Australia?
Of course I have, Josh. What about you?
Of course I have, mate. There's a petition to bring NFL in Australia. And we're good friends with the guys that are behind the petition. So follow them on Facebook, Bring NFL to Australia. Also on Twitter at NFL in Australia, and that gives you the link to change.org to sign the petition. Hey, even Drew Brees has signed the petition.
Big names.
And Sharif Floyd from the Vikings. So, you know, some big names there. And our mate Scott from NFL in Australia, he just appeared on NBC Sports Radio yesterday morning, spruiking it across to America. So hopefully now it's sort of building momentum. I think we're up to nearly 5,000 signatures, so get on board, like them on Facebook. There's already 800 people. And look, get like-minded NFL people to network with.
And look what happened when baseball came here.
To Australia, it will be a success. MCG, SCG, wherever. We don't care. We'll wherever it's in Australia, we will be there. All right, moving on. Fantasy football.
Woo!
Now that the draft is over, our focus is on another draft. we love drafts. We're going to talk about just the rookies from the draft and their impact on fantasy. Should we start at the top? Should we start at the bottom? What do you reckon? Like, who is the guy you like the most fantasy wise this year?
I've already said it.
Yep.
Bishop Sankey.
You like Bishop Sankey?
I like Bishop Sankey.
His Holiness the Bishop.
The Bish.
Bring back
the Bish.
Kendrick Lamar would be a big fan of your Bish.
Anyway, Sankey, I think, okay, he might not be the most talented rookie. He's not necessarily even the best running back rookie, but he goes into a position where he can excel straight away. And if you had to pick any player that's going to give you kind of like more a secure role, he's probably the safest.
Yeah.
Because even though you've got Sammy Watkins is a beast. He's the best offensive talented
prospect since like AJ Green. Stuff
exactly,
like that,
right? But Manuel's throwing in the ball.
Yeah.
And it's just a whole toss up whether
plus
they
plus he's got to face Darrell Revis and Brent Grimes twice a year.
So he's going to be, you know, shut down.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be tough, but he is a playmaker. They'll get in the ball. But yeah, Sankey for me, he's up there. I don't know. Sean Green's still there. I know he has knee injuries, but Sean Green's still a solid guy. I don't know if they want to rush Sankey into it, but hey, they drafted him in the second round.
He's the journeyman.
Yeah,
he's been
everywhere. I've heard comparisons to a few players, Sankey. My favorite was Vic Ballard. I'm a big Vic Ballard fan.
Oh, God.
So, Ballard's not a flashy guy, but he got the job done when he was a starter for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
And the Titans behind that O-line as well, who they've just loaded up on. That O-line's probably one of the best in the league. Yeah, I think Sankey's the clear number one rookie to have. Will I draft him? I don't know. Someone might reach for him a little too early for me.
I think he's really good, Robin.
Yeah. Another interesting guy. Here's the thing for me. If I was to draft Watkins or Evans, Mike Evans, I'd probably draft Mike Evans before Sammy Watkins. Because I think there's a better quarterback sort of there throwing in the ball in McCown or Glennon.
Exactly. The more I look at the Bucks, the more I'm kind of seeing like a Chicago Bears B team.
It is, and it is like, and I think it has potential to sort of rival that because they went Safari and Jenkins as well. So they've got tall guys everywhere, and they got Doug Martin as well, healthy. I think Evans could easily catch 8 to 10 touchdowns this year.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how many yards we get, but I think he, you know,
he's a red zone target.
Yeah, and I think he's a guy that, you know, as a wide receiver 3 flex, maybe wide receiver 4, you couldn't go wrong. I think there's upside there for him.
Yep. Eric Ebron.
Yep.
I think they picked up Tate.
Yep.
And they've already got Megatron.
Yeah. Bush.
Exactly. So they've got the backfield sorted. They've got Golden Tate as a, you know, he replaced Burleson and etc.
Yep.
Then they bring in Ebron. Even though they have, I've gone blank here.
Brandon Pettigrew or Joseph Fourier.
Yeah. Fourier, okay, he's just purely a red zone guy. Pettigrew kind of hasn't been producing for a little bit now.
Yeah.
He's still kind of like a safety net kind of guy, but he's...
Well, they have plans to put Ebron in the slot.
Which
is awesome. It's sort of like, I don't want to say this guy's name because of the last 2 weeks, but he's sort of Hernandez like in the slot. I'm not implying Ebron has committed any crimes, allegedly. But yeah, in terms of on the football field, I think he offers that sort of similar skill set.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
That's fine by me.
Yeah.
I think Jags got a good pickup with Marquise Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what's going on with Blackman? Like, that's...
Yeah, I think Lee, if he brings 2012 Marquise Lee, he could have gone before Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
Based on tape. So, I think he could go... Even Allen Robinson there with the Jags. I don't know. There's some interesting guys. Obviously, these are guys you're not going to take too high.
No.
I'm not really high on the rookies class as a whole, fantasy-wise.
Okay, well, when you put it in comparison, especially for, like, wide receivers compared to previous years, just because Keenan Allen had a good year last year.
No one was talking about him in this time last year.
And, I mean, don't even have that mindset going into your fantasy draft.
Yeah.
If you pick up someone like that late, that's fine.
For me, like, the last three rounds are guys that... Like, I might take them over a household name because I just sort of like the upside.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I did it last year when I picked Josh Gordon in the 12th round or something like that. I just like the upside and it paid off.
Not going to happen this year.
Well, who knows? He might slide there again.
might be kicked out of the season.
So. Another guy I sort of really like, Terrence West. Now, that's sort of a guy that I think has upside because of Ben Tate's injury history.
Mm-hmm.
And Terrence West is a very complete player. He did it all in college, caught a lot of passes, ran the football well. And I think Terrence West could slot right into Generation Y. Right in there.
Beautiful. I'll make sure it doesn't happen. No, speaking of Terrence West, I know this is a bad segue right now.
Yeah, okay.
Terrence Williams, who plays for Cowboys.
Yes.
I think... Okay. Miles Austin got hurt.
Yep.
He was... I think I'm actually... Who drafted him last year? I think I might have late.
Yeah, I think you did.
I think I took him late as a, you know,
possible... I think I got about 7 trade offers from you for Miles Austin was included.
Hey.
Trying to offload him.
Let's just stop about trades already. Yeah. We haven't even drafted.
Yeah.
I think Odell Beckham Jr. has a kind of similar feeling. Like, I think...
Yeah.
The kind of...
Might take a while.
The kind of production that Terrence Williams ended up putting up at a stage there where he was just getting touchdown after touchdown. Yeah. Even though he wasn't putting up the yardage. Yeah,
that stretch.
He could be that kind of guy. Yeah. Especially now that Hakeem Nicks is out.
Yep.
He's going to have to go straight into that role.
Yeah. Oh, they still got Reuben Randall, but look, that trio, especially with, I don't know, the suspect run game in New York as well, I think they'll catch a lot of passes. And Beckham, will he play in the slot? I don't know. I like slot receivers because you know they're going to catch passes.
Yeah.
and they're easy completions.
Look at Edelman.
Yeah, exactly. And he's not, you know, an insane talent.
Who drafted Edelman?
I think that was you, mate.
Yeah.
Another guy, your boy, Jordan Matthews.
Yep.
We're
talking about this before.
Yeah. I like him because there's not certainty at the wide receiver position now in Philly. Yes, Macklin, if Macklin comes back from the year before, he's your clear number one there. He's a great guy and he must have in fantasy.
Yeah.
But then again, ACL injury, everyone expects ACL injuries to end up like Adrian Peterson, just come back and be good. But, you know, that's the Disney ACL injury.
I mean, it's been really interesting seeing how you know, far players have come now from the ACL.
Yeah.
That used to just be, you know,
your career gone. Ender. Yeah, career's basically. Gone.
Jason Peters came back last yeah. year after rupturing his twice.
Yeah.
In the space of, you know, a fortnight.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yeah. But I think Matthew's there, like, he could slot in, and if Macklin has some sort of trouble with his knees, I think he could be a number one guy there. I know you have Huff there as well.
I'm not set on Cooper. I think Cooper's good. Especially
he
the chemistry.
He clicked with Foles, yeah, he
that's,
did.
That's a thing.
They had some sort of racist click there. Oh, wait, sorry, Nick Foles isn't racist. Just Riley Cooper.
Alright. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think Jordan Matthews is an interesting guy. And he has Jerry Rice's blood. So.
Jerry Rice's blood.
And
he
has bloodlines to Jerry. I know we mentioned bloodlines before. That's different. That's owning a team. This is fantasy. Any excuse to draft someone, you got to take that, all right? Yeah. It's a fantasy life.
That's exactly.
Bloodlines, yeah. All right, quarterbacks, fantasy quarterbacks, rookies. Yeah, which one are you drafting? If you draft one.
All right, let me start at the opposite end of the spectrum, right?
Yeah.
I'm definitely not drafting Bortles, not even thinking about him, not even looking at him. He's not even on a list of mine.
Yep.
I just don't think, okay, you're going to throw it to Marquise Lee, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of all I've got.
Yeah.
It's Cecil Shorts, but since he had that breakout year, it hasn't done anything for me. So I'm thinking Bortles is completely out, unless, you know, he starts turning up waiver wire pickup.
He's a waiver wire at best.
But there, it's definitely between Manziel and Bridgewater.
Yep.
I can see Bridgewater having a better year.
Yep.
I can see him having a better year going into that. I mean, you've got a run game with Adrian Peterson. I mean, come on. But then I think Manziel, right? Josh Gordon's not there for possibly the first 6 weeks to more.
Yeah.
He's throwing it to possibly Miles Austin, who can't. He's got broken legs. He's got Bennett, Earl Bennett.
Yeah. By the way, both his wide receivers have names that... Surnames that could be first names, so they're untrustworthy.
They're untrustworthy, so you can't throw to them.
That then, also counts in fantasy.
But then, the thing that gets me is that if he's got no one to throw it to, Manziel's going to have to leg it, right? And that's where you get your points. Cam Newton was, in his first year, was kind of hesitant throwing it anywhere.
Yeah.
So he just leg it, and he was racking up the points.
I think Manziel's running upside gives him the nod over Bridgewater.
Yeah.
I think Bridgewater does more to Adrian Peterson's value than it does to his own. I think if Bridgewater can start throwing the ball consistently, you're going to have less people in the box. And I think Adrian Peterson... Drafting Bridgewater, I moved Adrian Peterson straight to number one.
I mean, I don't... Whenever I start a fantasy, like, a cheat sheet or whatever, I think, all right, where am I going to put Peterson? It's like, one, two, or three, right?
And then I moved him straight to one.
He just always ends up...
Ends up number one, only because, look... You got Cordell Patterson there now as well. Bridgewater, a solid quarterback. Sorry, he's already better than every quarterback they got on their roster. I shouldn't even say that because he hasn't even played a down yet in the NFL. But
apparently Christian Ponder has lost 2% body fat.
Oh.
This is breaking news out of Minnesota.
I'll move him down in my body fat rankings now.
That means he has to be your starting quarterback in every league.
Yeah, draft Christian Ponder, everybody. Robin, he's really good. Draft it.
All right.
Carlos Hyde, interesting.
We say this every year.
Frank Gore is getting so old and he can't run anymore. And then week one rolls around and he just runs over guys.
He rocked up on crutches.
Yeah.
And there you go. He's running.
Still does it.
He just keeps running downhill.
Carlos Hyde, this is an interesting guy because
Lattimore's still there.
Yeah, but is Lattimore actually trained? If you asked me 2 weeks about Lattimore, I was told he was done by someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Like, it's interesting. If Lattimore does come through, that's going to be an interesting battle. I don't know if I'd want to own a San Francisco, because you still got Dixon there and Kendall Hunter, I believe, as well. Or did he move? I'm not sure. But so, I know Dixon's definitely there.
I know one's gone.
One of them's gone. And that's a trustworthy guy that's in the system. They know what they're going to get out of him. So, plus you got Kaepernick running all over the shop. I just don't think Hyde's a guy I would own. But in saying that, pick him up, he has upside, but I don't think I'd draft him.
Yeah. Do you think Trey Mason hurts Zach Stacy's value?
I had Zach Stacy as a clear first round pick.
Yeah.
Because look at his numbers, what he did over 9 games.
Yeah.
Like he would have outscored Eddie Lacy.
Thanks for trading him to me, by the way.
Yeah, right when he started to get hot.
I knew that
thanks
was coming.
To McCoy, though. That was good. Yeah. Nearly got me that playoff win. Damn you, Vernon Davis. Yeah. Where were we? What were we talking about just then? Oh, Zach Stacey.
Yeah.
God, you're throwing me off battle. Yeah, I had him as a clear number one guy. But now I'm just a little bit worried. Not too much. I think because they took Mason so high, it worries me.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe he just returns. I don't know. Like, yeah, he's a big return guy. I mean, he's so fast.
He ran the ball so much in Auburn, but that's because their quarterback play wasn't the best. And he had Greg Robinson, who, funnily enough, is at the Rams now. I'm not sure. Like, they drafted him so high. But then again, they had problems with Isaiah Pede and Darryl Richardson. Maybe they thought, you know what, we're not having uncertainty at running back again. I think he's just merely a security blanket in case Stacey does an injury or something like that.
For all those Zach
but I still Stacey. Think Zach Stacey is going to be have a pretty good fantasy year.
He's probably sitting at a 10-11 for me.
Yeah, he. I think he's 8-9.
He's kind of around the same risk as Alfred Morris.
Like, Alfred Morris, like.
He's kind of flipping the coin whether or not.
Yeah. Do you think Jeremy Hill affects Giovanni Bernard's value?
I mean, it kind of had, like, there was so much positivity coming out about Jer.
Yeah.
How he's going to, like, had a year in the system kind of thing.
Ben he had Jarvis, a great year.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was kind of, he wasn't showing that
well,
he
could I thought they were going to cut Ben Jarvis Green Ellis because Jeremy Hill's basically a younger version of him.
Yep.
But they said they're not cutting him, so I think maybe he's a mentor. I don't know. Honestly, Jeremy Hill offers more than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Exactly. Let's steer clear of the whole Carolina fiasco in their backfield. But I'm saying, is that like another committee?
There's so many committees.
It sucks.
It's honestly killing fantasy.
And speaking, I mean, DeMarco Murray is the number one running back in Dallas. Don't question about that. Yeah. Right? He's the number one. But they just picked up Ryan Williams after Arizona dropped him for 2 days.
Yeah.
Now you've got him, Lance Dunbar.
Mikel LeSure's there now as well.
What are you doing?
Oh, no. There's so many. I was of the belief for the last two seasons, having like two running backs and your flex as a running back is the key to success in fantasy.
Yeah.
Now I'm sort of leaning towards having only two running backs, like obviously a bench guy.
Yeah.
But
I think two solid running backs and a kind of a safety running back.
Like. Yeah, but I think you need like, I think my flex this year might have to be a wide receiver because there's just so much committee at running back now, and I think having an elite wide receiver and then sort of two guys that you can interchange as flex might be the formula this year because there's a lot of good wide receivers.
Hey, that's how Daniel Scapig won our
championship. He did well. Maybe he started the new formula. Any other sort of fantasy sort of guys that are on the radar that might not be?
I'm gonna go back on my word here.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I said Jets could well come bottom of the barrel, right?
Yeah.
Jason Morrow.
Yeah.
He could be the guy. He said he wants to catch it 100 times.
Yeah. He could.
He could.
I'm a Cumbie fan. I like Jeff Cumberland.
Okay. Anyway, the journeyman. Nah.
I like Cumbie, and his name sounds like Gumby, and he sort of runs like Gumby. I don't know.
And he's
just
green.
He wears the green. I don't know.
All right. I'll have him a Cumberland band.
There's Cumbie.
Anyway, yeah. Jason Morrow, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be double-teamed everywhere, but Decker's going to be double-teamed everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So Amaro could well provide that kind of... Because
red zone guy. He's a red zone guy.
He is. But you thought in the first round that possibly the Jets could take a wide receiver.
Yeah.
In all the mocks I had, I think I took him having a wide receiver every time, but they took Pryor.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
While we're still on the Jets, there's a guy, Jalen Sanders, from Oklahoma. He's a tough slot receiver, like really tough. He was on the Colts radar. They brought him in for a visit, and I watched a lot of game tape. And the Jets picked him up, and I think he could have quietly a good year. I think he might be a mid-season waiver wire, just sort of a little under the radar sort of guy. Just, you know, don't sleep on him.
You watch though. All these picks are wrong.
Could be. I just don't know. Because last year, Keenan Allen came out of nowhere. Even Terrence Williams, as you said before, came out of nowhere. And I think there's one guy we missed that we probably need to talk about, and that is Brandon Cooks.
I mean, I think he's just going to fill into exactly the same role that Lance Moore played.
Yeah?
But I've never... Colson used to be the guy for me.
Yeah.
He used to be the only receiver I'd consider taking.
Yeah.
Now I wouldn't even consider taking him, really.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think it's just Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, it is. I sort of had a debate on Twitter earlier this week with a... they're called Dynasty Nerds. Because I was like, Brandon Cooks, what's the scope there? And they reckon they're really, really high on him. I'm not so high. Like, 70% of Breeze's passes went to Graham or Colston. That let 30% with Lance Moore, Devery Henderson, Kenny Stills,
Sproul.
Like, how many passes does Cooks get? If Cooks gets 8 or 9 targets a game, he's draftable.
Yeah.
And he's going to have a good year.
That's a good target ratio.
But I see him getting maybe 4 or 5 targets a week, and I'm not sure if that's, you know, maybe wide receiver 4 or 5
yeah.
Type thing. But then... then again, maybe they're trying to curb their offense to spread it more. Maybe that 70% might become 50.
He could well be the long guy. You know, throw it long.
He'll have a game where like a Tavon Austin where he'll catch a pass and break it, like make someone miss and do an 80-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
But how many games of those did Tavon Austin
maybe that win your fantasy? Maybe that should be a wager war. How many, you know, 60-plus yard touchdowns will Brandon Cooks score?
All right. What do you reckon?
I'll say, should we put the line at 2.5? More than
2.5? Yeah, I reckon that's about right.
Yeah, I reckon 2 big ones that he'll.
You reckon under?
No, all right, I'll say 3 exactly.
Yeah. I reckon under. I reckon he only catches 2.
I reckon, all right then.
But then again, it's a long season. Yeah, all I'll right, go under.
We'll leave this.
Yeah, no, it's on the wall now. It's on the wall. Which, by the way. Exist. Yeah, it's non-existent, but look, I don't know who won our draft debate.
You know what? I'll say it right here. If someone can go back and write all our wager walls up for us, I'll send you a football in the post.
Okay.
You heard it here. Josh Wood will send you, if you want me to sign it, I will send you a football in the post.
Yeah.
It'll be a Wilson NCAA-approved football, all right?
And look, for free, I'll sign it as well. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you don't have to pay postage or anything.
No. And tonight we're in a special house. I'll even get the old Whippet that we've got on the lounge there to put a paw print into it.
Beautiful.
He's a beautiful dog. All right, we're going to take another commercial break before we get into some introducing some new regular topics.
Ooh.
All right, you ready? Did you know that over $2 billion in collegiate athletic scholarships are available in the US every year? And now more than ever, Australian athletes have access to this golden opportunity thanks to AUS Recruit. Catering to 24 men's and women's collegiate sports and over 1,800 schools, American University Sport Recruit is quickly becoming the leader in helping promote and successfully obtain college athletic scholarships for Australia's young athletes.
So whether you've always dreamed of playing college sport while you study or are simply looking at different options open to you post-high school, contacting AUS Recruit is the best way to learn what opportunities exist. Who knows, you could be the next young Australian sports star making an impact at top-level schools such as UCLA in Florida or at junior colleges and intercollegiate schools across the nation. Either way, AUS Recruit can promote you to more schools than any other pathway. Not only that, but you'll also have the guided knowledge of experienced and educated advisors, all of whom who have been through the US college system, to assist you and your family to take all the stress away from what would normally be a time-consuming and expensive process if you try to go down a different path to scholarship glory.
So follow AUS Scott L on Twitter, search AUS Recruit on Facebook, Twitter and YouTube, or simply head to ausrecruit.com to learn more and inquire. With over 600 athletes helped so far, the choice is easy. Only AUS Recruit has the knowledge and ability to make your US dreams happen. So, look, there's plenty of Aussies in college at the moment. Dante Exum's making headlines.
Can I just say, I'm not saying I'm an amazing athlete, but I wish this was, like, I wish I knew about this. I probably would have, maybe, you know.
Would have gone. But Adam Gotis as well was playing Georgia Tech. I think he'll eclipse Jesse Williams in the NFL.
I really hope Jesse gets a shot this year. It'll be amazing.
Just quietly.
Nope.
Did you see his suit that he wore? This guy made headlines across America for the suit. Did not play a snap all year. Meets the president. Gets a ring. Is he Has he eclipsed Stephen Bradbury?
The most Aussie thing.
Yeah, just lucky. I know it was unlucky he got injured, but honestly, that defensive line was stacked last year. Would he have gotten many snaps?
I don't know.
I don't know. This year he's got a more, he's got a better chance. A lot of them have been poached. He has a better chance. They had less picks. I just think he got really lucky.
Yeah, he did.
You know, nothing against it. Like, man, you've been to the,
I mean, he put in the hard yards to get where he was.
Oh, he trains the house down, and yeah. I don't like, I support him. I can't wait for him to get on the field. It'll be great for us for him to get on the field. I'm not bagging him out, but
which is definitely a thing to get Seattle to come down to Australia, like we were saying before. Yeah. That would be a team that would take
sell
off.
Sell the house down.
Considering it's probably
the I don't know. Is there room on that bandwagon?
I know, but there. You know what? If they came to Australia. It's kind of it's one of the shortest flights to America as well.
Oh, so. Maybe like them in New England could come down. We could call it the bandwagon brawl.
Ooh, the Packers and the Steelers would have to join
in. Yeah, they would join in. Yeah, may as well throw Denver in there now
and
as well.
And Dallas and Giants.
Yeah.
Anyway.
None of our teams. All right, so we've got some regular segments now. You ready for the first one?
Da, da, da.
It's time for a weird web story. All right.
AWS.
Yes. the weird web story this week is Johnny Manziel's lawsuit. I don't know if you saw this. Deadspin released it. Bleacher Report as well. I don't know what to make of this. Honestly, I'm just going to read you some quotes right now. So basically, there was a motion for a restraining order filed recently against Johnny Manziel by someone going the name of Samantha Shader, which turns out it's not her. It was someone else. So let's not defame her. The motion was filed in Florida and asked for $25 million in damages and contains lines like, on Christmas Eve 2013, Johnny Manziel sent me an Instagram photo of himself naked to me on Facebook, with Manziel holding, putting a hot dog bun between his penis, smiling and calling me ho ho ho. here are some other highlights. Johnny Manziel refers to his penis as the Vienna sausage and told me good things come from small packages. He also told me, I don't want him because his penis is small. When he gets drafted by the NFL, he'll get a penis enlargement and he'll be Long John Silver's.
this is ridiculous, can I just say?
Yeah, here's one more. Johnny Manziel said he Skypes with Jadeveon Clowney, and Clowney sent Manziel a pic of his penis, which was 9 inches, and Manziel showed it to me on Skype and asked me if I could handle that monster. So I want to know what, you know, the inches of package, is that going to be in the NFL Combine next year?
Wow. That was...
Are we going to get down that path?
Because, I mean, when this first hit Twitter, I was already on my phone.
Yeah.
I looked at it and thought, oh my God, this is going to crush Cleveland. Yeah. I just thought, what is happening?
And then
all of a sudden then... You know, his agent comes out and says, absolutely it's ludicrous.
1,000% fake.
But then, you know, most people, when they say if something's fake or not, they just go, this isn't real.
This is
when someone goes over the top and says, it's 100, you know, that kind of breathes more life into it.
Yeah,
it still does. Don't believe it's true.
No.
But I'm saying he could have done
because,
that.
Because, as I said before, Samantha Schrader actually works for CNN, and she denies any claims, and she actually says it's... It was some other guy. He's a known prankster. So, bogus lawsuit. It's going to go out, obviously. I think Manziel could sue for defamation, possibly. But in terms of weird web story, I think the first one of our segment is...
that's going to be hard to beat.
It's been pretty weird. So, let's, you know, it's been Memorial Weekend over in America. I wonder if Manziel just tucked into a nice hot dog. What do you reckon?
Good job.
Good luck. All right, our next segment is You the Real MVP.
Yep.
Kevin Durant said his mum was the real MVP. So every week now we're going to pick a real MVP.
A real MVP?
So who is your real MVP this week?
My real MVP?
For the last fortnight, because it's been a while since we've been on.
I
got two.
All right, go then. You lead the way.
I got Tim Cahill. I'm going to say this now before the World Cup happens and we get demolished, obviously, Australia. He is a legend. Uh-huh. He's an awesome guy. He scored again for us against South Africa, captain our country. I just want to thank Tim Cahill for all the stuff that he's done for soccer. I think he'll go down as probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, soccerer of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Kuehl might debate that. And he was on 60 Minutes the other night, and he actually thanked Campbelltown and Narellan, where the Woot and Wipe podcast hail from. And we tweeted him and said, mate, that was awesome. And he favorited the tweet. So, you know, like, it's good. He's embracing his roots. And I think, Tim Cahill, you're the real MVP.
You're the real MVP. Do you know what's amazing? That was his first ever captaincy for the Socceroos.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and it was a friendly. It's kind of kicking the... Yeah, I know.
I think it was more of a sentimental thing. Like, he served the country for so long. I think he deserved at least a captaincy. And look, it wasn't a loss, so that's not too bad. My other real MVP is Kevin Durant's teammate, Serge Ibaka, who turned that series around because it looked like the...
Spurs are running away.
Spurs are running away with it. He's come back now, and man, the grit. You could tell he was hurting, and man, he toughed that out. He had a great performance. And look, that series, I know they're still down 2-1, but if they win that next game, oh, it is on.
It really looked like the Spurs struggled to handle him. They've really got to change their game plan now.
It changes the equation completely. It looks like it'll be Heat Spurs, though.
Mm-hmm.
And Spurs, I don't know.
I'd like to see Durant, LeBron go at it for seven games.
I just don't think if Ibaka's going to be injured, I think that'll be a 4-0 sweep.
Yeah.
But who knows? Have you got a real MVP this week? I've sprung this segment on you.
You have. I'm trying to think.
No?
Not really.
I think Manziel here, obviously.
He's got his Vienna sausage.
Yeah.
Not really.
Not really?
No.
You said LeBron before. You turned it on today.
LeBron, oh my God. I was watching today and just thought, unbelievable. This guy. Every time someone knocks him down or says, it's hard to judge with LeBron. Everyone compares him to Jordan, which isn't fair.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of just blanks everyone out for a bit.
Yeah, he did. Smashed it.
Yeah.
And now we've got the side note, or the opposite to the real MVP.
Actually.
You got one.
I got one, right. Completely different sport. Ice hockey.
Oh, yep.
I was watching it today as well, crossing between that and basketball.
It's a good day.
Your team.
Blackhawks.
Right, they 26 games at home, undefeated in the playoffs, right?
Yep.
They lost 6-2. It wasn't a small game.
No.
LA Kings turned it on, and LA Kings look great. They look so quick.
Yeah.
And I'm in love with, at the moment, LA Kings.
Yeah.
Drew Doughty, plays defense. That guy, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hitting everyone, and he's not supposed to be scoring goals.
No.
And yet he's scored in consecutive games. He's setting them up. He's doing everything. And
so, Drew Doughty.
You can look him up, and I'm pretty sure his Twitter handle is like Dewey8 or something like that.
So
he's my
real MVP.
Real MVP.
Drew Doughty. All right, now we've got to flip it around. It's I don't know what the opposite MVP is, so we're still working on it.
It's kind of like a villain.
A villain, yeah. I had it down here, a villain, but you know,
We'll think of something better.
The real MVP from Durant. Sort of, you know, a lot of memes are coming up now.
We could call it the Ronald Sterling.
The Donald Sterling.
Ronald.
Yeah, we could do that. Could put his face on Ronald McDonald's body or something like that.
There you go. Oh, can I just say?
No, Donald Sterling's a bit harsh because every player that we bring up
Crazy racist. Yeah. Did you see Justin Timberlake at the Billboard Awards?
No.
He said, "This award goes out to everybody but Donald Sterling."
Yeah. Justin Timberlake, you the real MVP.
You the real MVP. Actually, fair enough.
Yeah.
Our first real MVP is not a sports player.
Loser, I don't know, loser, villain. Josh Gordon, mentioned him. Robert Mathis.
It's tough. I mean, apparently, there's kind of it's a bit greyish when it comes to Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Like, his teammates and stuff said it was out of his control. Devon Bess
said things when he's now,
And the Browns are staying.
Greg Little, sorry.
The Browns are staying so quiet about it.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird, so.
That's the thing with them not picking a receiver in the draft makes me think that they know something that we don't.
Yeah.
So maybe he's missing only 3 or 4 games, you know? I still think he's a loser because he had so much potential. He shouldn't be touching it.
No.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And Robert Mathis. Look, there's a lot of debate over whether his excuse is legit or not. at the end of the day, he took the drug because he wanted him and his wife to have a child. The reason why he took the drug is irrelevant. He took it, he's copping the ban for it, and that's, for me, he's never been done for drugs in his whole career. I don't see the reason why he would, other than that. If Robert Mathis tells me that he took that for that reason, I'm going to believe Robert Mathis on his word. Yep. Until I'm proven otherwise.
Yep.
So I'm not going to hate on Robert Mathis. I'm not going to call him a drug cheat like other players until we get some sort of evidence, but I don't think that's going to come out. We'll cop the four-match ban. We're going to suffer without him, but I think that's fair. He's still a loser. I love you, Mathis. I respect you. And you're coming off a freak of a year, which sort of makes me think maybe it's not such things. But then again, Peyton Manning had a great career at his age.
It's getting a bit touchy.
It is. But for me, if he had a track record, I wouldn't believe the excuse. But a lot of GMs, or like Bill Polian's come out. A lot of players, Andrew Luck's backed in. A lot of really good people have said,
"Oh yeah,
I'll take him on his word." So I'm gonna stick on that.
Yeah, game. I mean, if Adrian Peterson came out and he was accused of the same thing,
yeah,
I'd be like, "Sorry, Adrian." Like, you know,
I
understand your position.
People were going off about, "Oh, but he didn't take it obviously for the reasons of sport performance." The reason why he took the drug in drugs is irrelevant in sport.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a strict liability. The reason why you take it, it's done. You've tested positive. The excuses, might sort of affect your perception.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, you took it, and that's it.
Move on.
But our biggest loser, our dunce cap.
Our dunce?
Benji Marshall.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Rugby League, and I've got two words for you. Junior Paulo.
Ooh.
He just ran over the top of you.
Yeah.
And set up a couple of tries.
He did. I don't know what Benji's thinking. I mean, Price's name was on the wall before he put.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just stupid, really. I can see him on the bench very soon.
Benji Marshall.
Benji Marshall. That's
very punny.
You winked at me. You shouldn't do that.
I know.
that was going to be. I was going to mention that. I thought, let's.
Let's do it.
Steer clear about it.
It's finally 14 episodes in, and I get to call Benji Marshall a loser.
Oof. Yeah.
And it feels pretty good. Because for me, this, call me harsh, his whole career has been one flick pass.
One flick pass against the Cowboys.
Yeah, in a grand final. Yeah, it was great. But, you know, what about the footage of the 900 other times he tried to do it and it's failed?
Yeah.
So we'll move on to that. All right, and our last topic is, drum roll. Is Wootenwise War of Words. All right, we're gonna debate rookie quarterbacks right now, because quarterback, me and you, we don't get along on this. Mm-hmm.
I'm an entertainment person.
If you could see right now, we've got boxing gloves on right now. We're about to sort of smash this out. All right, who's gonna play more games?
We don't have boxing gloves
on. Yeah, I wish. Derek Carr or Blake Bortles in 2014.
Who will
play more games? Derek Carr or Blake Bortles?
Bortles by a mile. Bortles, I don't even know if Carr gets on.
But Henny, they're talking about resting Bortles for the year.
I still think Bortles will play.
You reckon Bortles?
I think Henny will start. Henny will be Henny. Bortles will kick on.
Yeah.
It's interesting when it comes to Carr, because I think I still, like I was saying before, Matt Schaub, however you say it, that guy. Besides last year, where he threw four or five picks in a row, he wasn't that bad. He was.
I'm gonna go Carr, because after week two, when Matt Sharp throws some pick sharps
against who? Who are they playing?
Cubs? Yeah, Vontae Davis is gonna intercept the hell. I think Carr's gonna come in, and I think he's gonna be a little supercar. Honey. Again, right?
Honey.
All right. Who has a better quarterback rating at the end of the year, Bridgewater or Manziel?
Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Really?
But I think it's going to be hands down only because...
All right, we'll add it in now. Who has more wins?
He has Peterson.
Yeah. But look at that defense. Brown's defense is pretty good.
It's pretty, pretty good. But, I mean, I even think the Jags' defense is pretty good. But I still don't think they're going to. I mean, it's not Brown's calling, but... No. Anyway.
Yeah, so we're both on the Bridgewater. I really thought you were going to go Manziel.
I like Manziel better.
This War of the Words is not really working out well. Okay, one more. Tom Savage We're going to set the over-under. How many games does he start? We'll set it at 5.
Tom Savage.
Yeah. The non-existent quarterback. Great name, by the way. It sounds brutal.
It does.
You know?
And he's not.
He's probably just this clean-cut guy.
Church-going white guy.
Yeah, Mormon. Just this really nothing against downer. Mormons? No, they're just very quiet people. Yeah.
We'll say... No. I don't know. It's tough. I'll just go the opposite to you. I don't like it, obviously.
No, I reckon...
I'll say under. No, I can't see him
playing. I reckon over.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it's going to be brutal because he's going to get killed. So you say... I say over and you say under. And one more. Who completes more passes? Aaron Murray or AJ McCarron?
Who completes more passes?
Yeah.
Far out. This is tough.
This is regular season only. No preseason.
McCarron?
I'm going to go McCarron.
Yeah, I have to go McCarron. Yeah. I think it's going to be weird with Alex
Smith. I trust Alex Smith more than I trust...
But then you look at the line that they've given Smith. He could be well squashed and they think, oh, it's his fault and bring Murray in.
Yeah, well, he could get injured, to be honest. Obviously, Red's more durable than Smith.
All right. I've got another one.
Yep.
All right. Gino and Vic.
Oh, here we go.
Right.
It's not rookies, but anyway, let's just... No. We'll change it to quarterback.
Sorry.
Gino v. Vic.
Gino v. Vic. You think Gino.
Hands down.
Right.
I'm Team Gino.
I think Team Gino. Right.
Yep.
Then, I don't see it either way. One of them... They're going to swap at one stage. No matter who starts, right. They're going to swap it.
Who has more games? It depends who starts, doesn't it?
Because I think if Gino starts, Vic has more games.
Yeah.
I think whoever... Someone will end up down there. Oh, actually.
But then again, they got Taj Boyd now.
I'll go Vic.
You go Vic again?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm going Gino all the way. I'm going Gino all the way.
I don't know.
All you know, Gino everything.
I still think Vic is better.
Yeah.
Vic is better and gives them a better chance of winning straight away than what Gino did. Gino had a year with them.
I think Vic was better at just... just not being a good starter. I think Gino is the man. I think he's got weapons now. Jalen Sanders, Eric Decker, Jason Mara, Cumby.
I don't even know which... I can't see him winning games. So no. I don't know who... No. I don't think it matters who's quarterback there, to be honest.
All right. I got one more.
Is it a quarterback or is he a split?
David Fales. He's landed in Chicago with the quarterback whisperer, Mark Trestman. Do you see him maybe playing any time behind... Jay Cutler's injury prone.
His thumb. Was it his thumb?
Yeah, but he seems to have a thumb problem every year. How many thumbs can you have? Honestly.
For the third week straight, different thumb.
Yeah. Do you think... I don't know how to put this in terms of statistical number. I think I'm trying to Kirk Cousins it here. I think that he might come in here under Trestman and strive and end up.
So should we word it how many games he participates in? Influences?
Okay. Let's do that. How many games do you think he might appear in?
Telecast.
We'll set
actual on the field.
On the field. We'll set the line at 2. But I just think he's an interesting guy, and I think that he, like, in the Trestman offense, he might be able to create some trade bait there.
This is a weird thing.
It is.
This is hard. I'm trying to think of Cutler's injury history. All right, I'll say that he goes over.
All right, so you're going over?
Yeah.
I'll go under.
All right, you're like, oh, he's so injury prone.
Yeah, but okay. Opposite. And then one last one. Tom Savage versus Zach Mettenberger. Who wins more games? Or who plays more games?
You know what? I'm thinking that it really goes on how well Sankey plays. I know this is weird.
Yeah.
But I think depending on how well Sankey plays and how good they can get the offense going, because I think Locker will start.
Yep.
And then, you know, Locker wasn't playing that bad that early on last year. Either with Sam Bradford, that was kind of a similar scenario, even though Sam Bradford was playing better.
Yep.
But I mean... I'll go Mettenberger. I think Locker will stuff up somewhere.
I could just get injured too.
Yeah.
I'll go Savage again, even though I have him going under. in the other one. But I just think he might have, you know, four games, and then that's still more than Mettenberger. You know, that's the idea. As long as I get one. And that's how our regular segments done. So we're gonna have them all in a row like that. Next time we're gonna throw them in there, just mix it up a little bit. But we thought we'd introduce them one at a time there at the end, so add some spice. You mentioned Sam Bradford before we close out. I'm just glad the Rams stuck with him for one more year.
So do I.
Yeah, and now that Greg Robinson's there, and they've got like a team there, their lines, their offensive line and defensive line are finally.
And the offensive line is athletic. Like, yeah. They're just not just a big.
Yeah, remember they got Saffold back, and they'll slot him into guard, Greg Robinson into guard. It's, I don't know. I think the Rams, I saw the tab odds the other week. They're 20s. And I know it's, they're not going
to. 20s is 20s, though. 20s is still high.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know it's tough to win in the NFC because you've got Seattle and you've got San Francisco, but and they're in that division. But, man, that Rams team, like, is just looking good. Right. And meanwhile, Washington, that trade, I think, all that for it's RG3.
Really coming back to him.
Yeah.
And then again, RG3 is RG3. Come and turn it on.
I think
he
bounces back. But, you know, look, we'll get on to fantasy football. And I think our next podcast, probably going to do one in a couple of days. We're going to talk about State of Origin, Game 1.
Go the Blues.
Go the Blues. This will probably be up after the game. But anyway. We're also going to discuss World Cup. 16 days away.
Don't get me started. Oh, can we just... All right. Prediction.
Right now? We haven't even gone through it.
Go now.
Who wins?
Brazil wins. I like Brazil.
Give me...
And the underdog, who I really want everyone to watch, is Belgium. Belgium's my team. I'm rooting for Belgium the entire way.
Give me... jeez, this is tough.
You put me on the spot.
I really want Brazil, but because it's the home country in South America. Give me Argentina.
Oof, that would cause some real whatever. Fire.
I'm just going to...
Messi needs a World Cup.
Come on, Messi. Come on, mate. Am I roughy? Oh,
Australia.
Real rough. Chile. I'm going to go all South American everything.
Oh.
Just throw that in there.
Wow.
And I'm not allowed to be wrong on these because I'm already right about it.
Chile's playing Australia, Spain and Netherlands. Are they going to go out of the group?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Minus Chile.
Colombia. He's going
to Colombia. I was going to go Uruguay, but now Suarez is out, so I'm done. But anyway, I don't care about that because listen here. Our bold predictions episode and crystal balling. I said Real Madrid. Tick. I said Australian golf's going to have a big one. We've had 5 wins on tour this year. Adam Scott's number one. And then we're both wrong about Blake Bortles. But look, that's 2 pretty good ones. Pick Real in February. Yeah, it was wide open.
Blake Bortles, nah.
And I picked Man City. Despite them crushing my dreams. So, look, we're going all right. We've got a lot wrong. But
we have.
Hey,
but
we've justified.
If someone would write these up. For
a free football. That would be great.
That would be great.
That would be great.
No matter where you are in Australia, only Australians apply, by the way, please. Yeah. I do not
Excluding
want to be...
Excluding Tasmania.
Yeah, that's just...
I don't know.
You're not real.
You're not real. All right, we're going to close out. As always, I am on Twitter, at Josh Wye.
And I am on Twitter, at Josh Woot.
And we're also on Twitter collectively, at Woot and Wye.
Oh my god.
And also on Facebook, Woot and Wye Podcast. And, we're not on LinkedIn, so don't try that. And,
Yet.
iTunes, please subscribe to us. Also, check out NFL in Australia and Oz Recruit. And we'll see you in a few days. We actually won't see you, but, you know, that's
You'll
it.
You'll listen to us.
That's it.
Maybe.
Ciao.
Bye.